coming at you today, okay? And I'm just sensing a little bit of a lull right now. That. We don't got time for that. All right, let's go. Break it. Let it cross. Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
You're listening to Rock Chalk Sports Talk with Nick Schwert on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
What's happening? Welcome in Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. I am Nick Schwert. Happy to have you with us. Lovely Tuesday afternoon here in Lawrence. Derek Johnson sits across the desk from me. David Beatty had his first official press conference earlier today. We'll get to that audio here in a little bit. Doug Beauchamp, the new offensive coordinator, talked, and he's fun to listen to. We'll let you hear a little bit from him. Mitch Holtis at 4:15. Mario Chalmers later in the 4 o'clock hour. Matt Tate will join us at 5 o'clock. But first things first, the calendar, the page is turned over. A new month. July in the rearview mirror. As far as I'm concerned, good riddance. July came in with a lot of promises. Turned out they were empty promises. Did not live up to the expectations. Didn't live up to the hype. And I don't want to get too ahead of myself here because we do have a lot of time left.
No, don't jinx it again.
But I really...
Don't do it.
I really have a feeling that August could... I mean, it has the makings of being... one of, if not the very greatest month of all time.
You ruined it.
I'm just saying. I have to get it out of the way now, because if it does end up living up to it, then I want to be able to come back and say I told you so. You got the lunar eclipse is going to be happening later this month. That's big. Others, you know, football's right around the corner. Training camp. KU football's starting preseason camp this week. A lot of stuff happening in August. I'm just saying I have high expectations for this month, and I really hope they can end up coming through. KU begins their Italian trip tomorrow. Well, I mean, they're already over there, but they have their first game tomorrow. 11:30 Kansas time, 11:30 Lawrence time. And, of course, you can hear that game and all the games they play over there right here on KLWN. Brian Haney, Greg Gurley will be on the call. Matt Tate is live in Italy, so we'll get a chance to catch up with him coming up here in just a couple of hours. But I'm excited to see him, man. I'm like, it's just, we can spend all this time talking about how this trip's not about basketball, which I think basketball is a piece of it, a pretty substantial one, but it's not. It's not all about basketball. There's only so much we can learn. We're going to see a lot of guys that we haven't seen, that haven't played for KU, whether they're transfers, whether they're guys who are sitting out, whether they're freshmen, but it's just exciting to see the new team. And the fact that we get to see it 3 months earlier than we normally do, that's cool, because there are a lot of fan bases around the country who don't have this opportunity. So we'll spend a lot of time this week and next debating on what we saw, who looked good, who didn't look good, how much of this matters, how much of what we see in Italy is going to carry over into the season. But just, I want to just appreciate the fact that we get basketball in August. And I know that there are some football purists. David Lawrence is one of them. He hosted the show with me yesterday, as he does every Monday, who would say this is football season. And, of course, David's happy to watch the Jayhawks play basketball. But I know people are in football mode right now, but basketball never sleeps in Lawrence, Kansas. And I guess it doesn't sleep in Rome, Italy either, because they're going to get it going tomorrow. Who are you most excited to see?
I don't know that I want to pinpoint one person. I just want to pinpoint anybody who's going to play small ball four. So whether that's Marcus Garrett, whether you're going to put LeGerald Vicks, V. Mikhailuk there, whoever's in that rotation, because they may not start out that way, but they're going to play it. They have to, with the lack of bigs they have, to get a little test and try out some different players in that spot. So those three players probably would be the most realistic ones to play that small ball for. So any of those, maybe Marcus Garrett then would be the number one player to watch, because we haven't seen him before. At the very least, we've seen Vic and Svi. if Marcus Garrett comes in and he can play some small ball four, that's huge for a team that needs some depth down low.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I don't think it's going to happen. Like, I think we're going to see it in Italy, but I think that's going to be mostly the last of what we see of it this year, purely from the standpoint of, if you know one thing about Bill Self, he values defense above everything else.
But they have three bigs.
I know, man. I know. I know. And the bigs are all inexperienced. All of them. Yudoka Azubuike has more experience than anyone. And he played 11 games. But they're, I just don't think they're going to be able to defend well enough with... I mean, and it's not like a knock against any of these guys. It's just that none of them are fours. Whether you're talking about LeGerald Vick or Svi Mykhailiuk or Marcus Garrett or Sam Cunliffe, they're wings. Their guards. Josh Jackson may have skewed our idea of what it takes to play small ball four. Like, you see what the first guy who comes in and does it better than anybody else that will come after him. That's a fact, right? Like, Bill Self could coach at Kansas for another decade, and he'll never have another guy like Josh Jackson because that's how rare of a talent he was. And he happened to be the first guy who Self said, okay, let's play small ball with. And it worked amazingly. And it's going to be difficult to distance yourself from those comparisons. Well, it's not like last year. It's never going to be like last year. Sam Cunliffe, Vic, Svi, none of those guys are going to be able to do what Jackson did. Now, they're going to be, like, offensively, it's going to work fine. Like, they're going to have shooters just like they did last year, maybe more, on the court together. They're going to be able to spread the opposing defense, and they're going to be able to light it up. And when they get hot, they're going to be as good as anyone in the country. I'm wondering what it's going to look like on the other end of the court. Now, in Italy, it might be fine, because Svi Mykhailiuk may be one of the bigger guys on the court at 6'8". I have no idea. I don't know anything about this team they're playing. I don't know anything about any of the teams that they're playing. But I think it'll be fine this week, and hopefully it looks better than what I'm expecting defensively, because if it does, then maybe you do get your hopes up heading into the season that it's something that could work. But I don't know how much of what we're going to be able to see in the regular season. I get that Bill Self's hand's going to get be forced, but if his team is getting beat consistently defensively, you know he's going to scrap it and go to something else. I don't know what that something else is, but if there's one thing he's not going to put up with, it's going to be mediocre defense.
I just feel like what happens, because this is going to happen, at the rate that he fouls, Yudoka Azubuike is going to foul out of a game or two over the course of the season. So what happens when he fouls out? Because your two bigs that are left after that, it's Billy Preston and Mitch Lightfoot. You going to go to war with that? Is your two down low?
I don't know. It's a tough question to answer, because we haven't seen really either one of those guys. You see Mitch Lightfoot and mop up minutes as a freshman, and Billy Preston is a freshman, so we haven't seen any of that. Maybe Billy Preston is more of a stretch four. I don't know. It's tough to watch his high school highlights and tell what his position is, because there are a lot of guys who can hit those 20-foot jumpers when the video is only compiled of your best moments. What's it going to look like when you're playing at a collegiate level and it's not a highlight video? I don't know. He seems to be a guy who can handle the ball, who can step out a little bit. Maybe he will be more of a stretch four, but again, yeah, you're right. It goes back to bodies, and you really only got three of them down low. I'm Nick Schwartz. It's Rock Chalk Sports Talk, new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. We're going to let you hear David Beatty's press conference in total coming up here in the next segment. But, of course, today, the first official day of practice, David Beatty had his first official press conference, and naturally, he beat everybody to the punch in his opening statement. He touched on exactly what transpired with Quiv Gonzalez and why he's no longer on the team.
I know you guys are going to have questions about people that are here in camp. The number one question is probably going to be about Laquiviante Gonzalez. We have standards that we expect our players to follow. And if they fail to do that, at some point there will be including and up to removal or dismissal from our program. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means you can't play here. And we all have standards that we are going to uphold, and we have to meet those. We've got to meet them as a team. And we've got to be able to do that consistently. And we've got to do it consistently over time. Now, keep in mind that the goal is not to get rid of a person that might show bad characteristics. It's to be able to remove those bad characteristics so they can live a long, fruitful, productive life. And unfortunately, one of the pieces of accountability, and in this instant, the one that probably will help him the most, is the one that was hardest for me to make. You guys know how much I care and love for Quib. But I love this team just as much as I love him, if not more. So in the long run, the decision for him to part ways with us is going to be the best decision for both us and him. It'll be something that will serve him well as he moves forward in his life. It'll be something that will serve us well as we move forward as a team. Like I said, you know, love is something that you got to practice. Sometimes it's tough love. And in that case, it was tough love. But there's a process by the way we educate. We don't make snap decisions. Remember what I said was that our goal is to remove bad characteristics and place character in their life. And I think that at the end of the day, sometimes you have to make the hardest decision, which is to part ways. And my hope and prayer for him is that he moves forward. We wish him nothing but the best. We thank him for all that he did. He is not a bad person. He's not a bad kid. Anybody that gets him is going to be getting a special kid, and I hope that he'll move forward and be better for it as he moves on in his career.
So that's David Beatty earlier today's press conference. This is Rock Chalk Sports Talk, New FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Two things stood out to me from those comments on Quib Gonzalez. The first one is, we don't make snap decisions. And that translates to, he's had plenty of chances. Right? Like, he didn't just do one bad thing and we said, okay, that's it, you're off. Like, when he says we don't make snap decisions, that means we think things through and we give guys opportunities, and that they want to change him, right? They don't want it to be like, you screwed up, you're off the team. We want it to be, you screwed up, let's help fix you. Let's get you right to where you can be the best that you can be. And if there's one guy on this team who fits that moniker, who fits that bill, it's Quib Gonzalez. A guy who David Beatty recruited at Texas A&M, left Texas A&M, brought this kid with him, former four-star, five-star recruit, depending on the outlet that you look at, and he's had ample opportunities to get right and to be a productive player on this team because the talent is undeniable. But whatever happened, whatever transpired, we'll probably never officially know exactly what that is. It clearly wasn't the first thing that happened. It was more so the straw that broke the camel's back, and David Beatty said, you know, like you said, I love him, but I love this team just as much, if not more. And that's kind of his job. His job is to love this team, is to act in the best interest of the program over everything else. And unfortunately, that meant the dismissal of Quib Gonzalez. Now, this is more of a complicated subject, a more complicated player in the case of Charles Baldwin. He came over, transferred from Alabama. He was dismissed from the team for a violation of team rules. And Tom Keegan put it quite astutely in the LJ World, said, which translates to none of your business, right? If they say violation of team rules, that means none of your business. And that's kind of the same thing that happened with Quib Gonzalez. And one of the first questions at today's press conference was asked about Charles Baldwin, because we haven't heard much about him. We've heard about that left side of the line with Akeem Adeniji and Jay Rhodes and Mesa Riberty at center, but Charles Baldwin's the biggest name in terms of high-profile recruit, comes from Alabama. David Beatty kind of touched on those characteristics when asked how he's kind of coming along.
Well, we've been around him for a year and a couple days, so we see quite a bit. We see quite an array of things from him that range from some characteristics that are positive to characteristics that are negative. And I will say this, the kid has come a million miles, and I think he'd be the first to admit that. He's no different than anybody else, y'all. I mean, Quib's not the only one that is subject to those standards. So whether it's him, Charles Baldwin, Peyton Bender, we're going to do it the right way, and there's going to be accountability. We call it love, and we're going to practice tough love when we have to, because that's how we're going to sustain championships around here, is making sure that we hold each other accountable to high standards. And you know what's funny is, and I say it's funny, and it's to me, because it's funny to watch rumors just take on a life of their own. And I get it. It's entertainment. I understand. It's funny to hear a 12-inch bass turn into a 36-inch bass before it's all said and done. Just funny to hear it talked about. But the good news is you'll know that it's not true until I tell you. Other than that, it's just a rumor. So the reasons that guys are either dismissed or remain in our program are not snap judgment decisions. They are things that we look at as we go over time. And Charles is another guy that is really having to toe the line when it comes to standards. And he's come a long way, you know. And we hope that he will continue to do that because we think he's talented enough to help us. Now, the good news is we've recruited pretty good around him. I mean, I know that he comes from that school that starts with an A and everybody thinks that that's just going to be the deal that anoints you. But we're pretty good up there. And just because you went there doesn't mean you're great. I mean, those are just clothes with letters on them. At some point, you got to start playing, right? That doesn't make you something special. What makes you special is the team that they've created and the guys that actually go do it, you know? And he's got to be the guy that lives up to that type of billing.
So not really mincing any words there on Charles Baldwin from head coach David Beatty. I mean, he's making it quite clear that this is a guy who's kind of skating on thin ice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I imagine when you get to, for a guy like that who gets dismissed from your prior team, you come on campus, like, it's nice to think that everybody starts with a clean slate, but if you've got a history, you're going to be judged accordingly. And you heard David Beatty say he's kind of towing the line right now. Like, it would have been really easy for him to go up there and say, you know what, like, he's doing fine, he's coming along, we're working with him, and left it at that. But instead, he goes off for, you know, almost 2 minutes kind of talking about the standards, and you hear him bring up Charles Baldwin's name in the same sentence as Quiv Gonzalez, and that to me is pretty eye-opening as to what this guy has got to continue to do if he wants to be a player on this team.
I think it was pretty eye-opening, too, at the end, on top of potential whatever's going on off the field. At the end, talking about, you know, at some point, you got to play. Like, it's not just about the name across your chest when you were at that school with the A, Alabama, which kind of implies to me, like, he kind of came in expecting to kind of be big man on campus right away and just automatically get vaulted into a starting role. And I think he's having to compete more than he might have thought.
It reminds me a lot, and this is maybe not an apt comparison because I don't know exactly what's going on with Charles Baldwin, but hearing him say what you just said, which is the fact that just because you come from Alabama doesn't mean you're anointed. Like, we've recruited around you. We feel good about the talent. We can compete with or without him. It reminds me of some of the guys you see on Last Chance U, the Netflix documentary about junior college football in Mississippi, where a lot of their key players come from D1 programs. They get a D-tackle from Penn State. They get a defensive end from Georgia. They get a quarterback from Florida State. All of these guys who were dismissed or left their programs for various reasons, whether they were failing classes, whether they were failing drug tests, they got into an altercation with another student, with a coach, whatever the case may be, these guys go the junior college route as a way to not sit out a year and still be recruited by the best programs in the country. But you watch this documentary, and a lot of those kids show up because they came from Penn State. They look around and say, I was recruited by the best programs in the country. Now I'm playing at East Mississippi Community College. Like, I am above this. Like, clearly I'm one of the best players on the team. Clearly this team wins and loses with me. And it's not really the other way around. And once you have that mentality, you're so screwed. Because in the case of David Beatty, and I'm not saying this is what's happening with Charles Baldwin, but hypothetically, if a player were to come in with that kind of mentality, which is, I came from Alabama, now I'm at Kansas, like, I'm the best player on this team, I'm the best player on this line, it's not going to work. Because this coaching staff doesn't care where you came from, nor should they. And maybe, perhaps, that's what Charles Baldwin's going through. I don't know. I'm just kind of trying to connect the dots based off what David Beatty's saying. But hopefully, he does continue to, you know, stay on the straight and narrow and have the correct mindset to compete at KU, because they could use him. They could use some depth on the offensive line. There's some strengths on the left side, but they still are lacking in depth. Charles Baldwin certainly provides that. Specifically at the top end, they could use him. Hopefully he gets it figured out. 324 on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. We'll let you hear David Beatty's introductory press conference for practice coming up next.
This is Rock Chalk Sports Talk with Nick Schwert on new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
It's 4:17 on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. I'm Nick Schwert with Derek Johnson. This is Rock Chalk Sports Talk. Mario Chalmers joins us coming up at a quarter till 5. Matt Tate live from Italy in the 5 o'clock hour. But right now it's time for everybody's favorite segment, our weekly, our daily, I should say, training camp reports with none other than the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holter, joining us once again. How are you, sir?
Doing great, and I needed to throw out a shout-out yesterday, and I'll do it today, for Bruce Collinsworth, of course, our guy at Papa John's. He's the son of the Alamo.
That's right.
You know, there's only a few that got out of there, but before camp, I actually went to San Antonio to inhale all of the history of the Alamo just in honor of Bruce Collinsworth.
Wow.
Yeah, just putting it out there. But anyway, you know how he is with the Za.
Of course.
The Za and the love. Of course, Papa John's there in Lawrence.
Of course. The son of the Alamo, Bruce Collinsworth, over there at 9th and Mississippi. Mitch Holter is joining us now on the show. Mitch, we didn't get a chance to talk about this today or yesterday amongst many other things, but Brett Veach, I know, is a name that maybe people on the outside aren't particularly familiar with, but those inside the organization know all about them. I know you're one of those people. So give us the little lowdown, the 101 on Brett Veach, the new Chiefs GM.
Started 11 years ago. Really good player at Delaware, actually. As a wide receiver, played with Chiefs quarterbacks coach and offensive coordinator Matt Nagy. Started with the Philadelphia Eagles. He's worked his way up from the very bottom in that little over a decade. I would give a parallel to what Shane Zenger did. I mean, people know him now as the KU athletic director, but I knew him a long time ago when he was just getting started in the business. And I would say the two have been somewhat parallel in the way that they have worked throughout their career. Brett's very sharp. This day and age, the general manager's role is as much about organization and handling the salary cap along with everything else, player contracts, dealing with agents, got to deal with the players. But you must handle the salary cap. It's like a commodities broker looking at the markets every day. You have to stay on top of your business and the other 31 teams in the league, or at some point you're doomed to feed the cap, and you don't want to do that.
You know, a theme that you and I have talked about a lot over the past couple of years is the stability within the organization,
yep,
particularly with Andy Reid and Alex Smith and John Dorsey. Now with Dorsey out and Veach in, I know it's still early, but does it still feel like there is stability in place with everybody around the organization?
Well, let's just take a comparison of those two. And John Dorsey's a very good friend of mine, and I feel badly for him, and I hope something happens for both he and his wife, Tricia, who had University of Kansas undergrad and a Washburn Law alum and an Abilene, Kansas cowgirl. Brett, though, and John, I guess if you do the contrasting style, Brett's maybe just a little more of a organizer, leader kind of thing. John has worked his way up through a scout, did a great job of finding talent. I think there is... So the reason I say that, I'm giving you a kind of a circuitous answer, is that in some ways, Brett's going to be behind where John was, obviously, just because of experience. And Brett's going to have to do some real quick on-the-job training. However, the fact that Brett was actually with Coach Reed longer consecutively for 11 consecutive years from Philly coming to Kansas City, John was with Andy back in the Green Bay days in the 90s. There's a pretty big gap in there from 98 until 2013. So I would tell you that what appears to be a blow to stability in some ways is actually makes it more stable, if that makes sense.
We've got the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holter, here with us on new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. You mentioned Brett Veach, a good college player at Delaware. So here's a curveball for you. Can you give me the Delaware mascot?
Blue Hens. And, Tubby Raymond, the wing tee. They've had some ballers now. Rich Gannon came out of there. Joe Flacco. I mean, Delaware has had some studs throughout the years.
I thought I was going to catch you on your toes there, but You do what you do, man.
Well, they've got the Michigan helmets, too. I thought Michigan might sue them for some kind of, like, copyright infringement.
Yeah, it's just, like, different shades of blue and yellow, right?
Absolutely. It's that stripe thing, you know, that never have figured out. As a Northwestern fan, I don't particularly like it, but with Delaware, I'm okay with it. I think the Wichita Northwest, Wichita Northwest has them as well. The Grizzlies, they might use them in the state of Kansas.
I want to look at some of these positions that are not only littered with fresh faces, but we've got some familiar faces that are no longer with the team. Let's start with the running back position. No more Jamaal Charles, your favorite Seabiscuit, not with the Chiefs anymore. Now he's with the Rivals, just a few miles west with the Broncos. What's kind of the early reports on what this running back core is going to look like this year?
Well, the key will be Kareem Hunt, the rookie out of Toledo. And a great sophomore year and a great senior year, when you put those two together, and then his bowl performance after his sophomore year, where he went for 230 and five touchdowns in a bowl game. He's got a great vision, balance. He's the bowling pin that you think you're going to get a strike and it stays up, and you get an open frame with nine pins. I mean, that's the analogy I would give you with Kareem Hunt. And he can catch the football. Pass protection will be, as always, for any rookie in the NFL, will be the litmus test to see just how much he can get done in his first year. A healthy Spencer Ware, and I've said this to you before, and I will say it again, when Spencer Ware is healthy, he might be the most underrated player on the team and one of the most underrated players in the NFL. He really is a double-double. He's one of the few running backs in the NFL that can hit you for 100 yards rushing and 100 yards receiving. He has done that in his career. The Chiefs were at their best last year when Spencer Ware was healthy. For Kendrick West, the guy who came out of nowhere from Abilene Christian, is fighting an ankle injury, and then the fourth speed back in this camp, if you will, C.J. Spiller. Now, I hated playing against him when he was a Buffalo Bill. 15, he was with the New Orleans Saints, kind of trying to recapture what he had with the Bills as a runner and kick returner. He'll be something to watch. That and the Sharkadrick West injury will be closely monitored over the next 3 weeks. But when you come to camp and watch Spencer Ware and Kareem Hunt, you see that they're two nice complements to each other, and it might keep Ware healthy if Hunt gets some of the load. Now look for him to split the load. Then, of course, there's the sausage. He's running around Anthony Sermon's style. Great in special teams. Was the star of the running back blocking drill, which they hate because the linebacker's coming a full head of steam from 8 yards. It's like that caricature of the bird, you know, making a gesture toward the eagle coming after him. But not with sausage. Sausage will get you right in the sternum and under the shoulder pads and send you reeling. So linebackers don't exactly like seeing the sausage. And then Divine Redding is the other running back in camp who had his moments, including an over 200-yard rushing performance in an Indiana Hoosier Bowl game. So that's your running back scenario.
When they drafted Hunt out of Toledo, did they have the expectation of, okay, this is a guy who can come in and help us right away? Because you often, maybe more with the running back position than any other position in the NFL, you see guys drafted in the second, third, fourth rounds who do come in, contribute right away, and we turn around and say, how were they not taken higher?
Precisely, and they traded up to get him, and that's why. And I'm going to give John Dorsey credit for that one. He targeted that kid, and he was on the move to get him. They thought if they would have waited around to where they were at, he was going to be gone. He was a little bit of something. I mean, you look at Daniel Jeremiah, and you can start going back through the – and I love Daniel Jeremiah. I think he's outstanding. But you go back and some of the other evaluations, he was considered to be one of the top value picks of the draft. I really think he's got the chance to be a 1,000-yard rusher and a 500-yard receiver. I do think he'll split time. This team will be the best if they can get Ware and Kareem Hunt to split time. I know fantasy players are like, oh, come on, man, give me Jamal and 1,500 yards. Not with this offense, and not when you want to keep them all healthy and try to win the division and go even further than that and get to the promised land.
We're talking to Mitch Holtis. He's the voice of the Chiefs on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Are there any other rookies who have stood out so far?
Yeah, it's interesting. You talked about Mahomes yesterday, but if people come to camp, they're going to go, who's 92? Tano Passanio, second-round pick in a Villanova, and was somewhat of a people in the Chiefs' kingdom didn't know who he was, and they were wanting Jordan Willis out of K-State, the former Rocker star who went to the Bengals. But this Passanio kid, so he's 6'7", he has a 7'3" wingspan. Chris Jones is hurt, but if Chris Jones gets off the injured list, if they go fingertip to fingertip, I actually did this during the summer, they're 14 feet 6 inches, I believe. The hash marks in the NFL are 18 feet long. Two players can go wingtip to wingtip and cover almost the entire hash mark to hash mark. Pastineau has been impressive in this camp, inside and outside, athletic, just a little raw, but if he learns the game, he's got everything else. The other guy is Akemi Oligwe, a linebacker. Dave Tobe loves on special teams, but the inside linebacker positions, with Derek Johnson's injury, and Derek Johnson just kind of had a tooth setback, actually, but the Mike backer position is wide open. The Will backer position behind DJ is wide open. And Oligwe, who started at Florida State, was on their national title team, ended up at Georgia Southern, is another guy who could make an impact in this rookie class.
You mentioned Pastineau, 6'7", 300 pounds, and he's got, what, like a 2% body fat? How is that possible? Have you seen a physical freak like Pastineau during your 24 years with the Chiefs?
When I studied, I think it was, well, it wasn't Brontosaurus, because that had the little head. Tanya's got a way bigger head. I'm looking at, what was the other big, like, and not the little arms like T-Rex. This is more like a, I don't know, let's just make up the name, a Paleosaurus or something.
Transfer.
Oh, we just lost Mitch Holtis there. Let's see if we can get him back on the horn. We're talking to the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, there on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLW. And I have no idea what just happened. And I was kind of excited to hear what else Mitch had to say on the subject. But we'll see if we can't get him back on the line here momentarily. Do we have Mitch back? Okay, Mitch, you're back with us. You were giving us your nickname for passing you. How do you come up?
Hey, what happened? What happened? I got Curtis Townsend for answering machine. I thought he's in Italy.
Yeah, I thought so too. That doesn't make any sense. I don't know exactly what's happening, but if KT wants to hop on with us.
This is leave a message. This is KT, leave a message. Okay, what do we got? What do we got?
Well, you were talking Pastineau, and like the physicality of this guy is otherworldly, and it just seems like I have no idea how close he is to being ready to compete right away, but it seems like if he does get it figured out, he is going to be a force in this league.
Yep, and particularly if he is side by side with Chris Jones, who has a very similar type body. I don't know if you remember, it was Morris Stroud, I believe, and it was Henderson from Jacksonville, maybe the late 90s. They were just these two gigantic behemoths, Goliath dudes in the middle, and it's like, well, you can't block them, and they're going to block tip passes. I mean, that's what you have the ability to do with Pastineau and Chris Jones together. Again, Pastineau's a little bit raw, but he's not as raw so far in this camp as I thought he would be. And they're kind of moving him around a little bit. He's playing outside backer. He'll play inside. I think his first impact and his impact will be as quickly as the New England game on that season opening Thursday as a sub rusher, being there on passing downs. But I'm going to tell you, he's also going to be with it. But that 7'3" wingspan, you can do the Isaac Newton, like your wingspan, that picture we always see in the study of science, right?
Yeah,
he's
going
to knock some stuff down. There's going to be block kicks, block passes, and then they'll run their zone blitz scheme where, hey, I'm coming. Oh, no, I'm dropping into coverage. You've got a wind turbine back there that you're going to have to throw around. There's going to be some big plays in this kid, and I think there will be some even early in the season.
When you come up with your nicknames for these guys, do you let it kind of happen organically, or do you kind of workshop them during the offseason?
You must, and then I will go to, like, Mont Blue. Like, there has to be a place of solitude. And then I think I see plays, and then it's like, and then the nickname just happens.
Wow.
You know, one of the least popular was the Centaur with Larry Johnson, which I've got hammered on social media about. And it was more about Larry, I think, than the nickname. But it was like, Centaur, yes.
That's good.
So, yeah, it does happen organically, but there has to be some solitude and meditation.
Okay, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go watch some Pastineau film tonight, and I'm going to workshop it. And then tomorrow when you come on, I'm going to pepper you with my ideas. You can crush them if you want, but I'm going to throw some your way.
I'm down with that. I'm up for it. Let's go for it.
All right, he's the voice of the Chiefs. Mitch Holtis went four.
Wait till you see him in person, though.
Man.
Wait till, like, Self sees him in person. Did Jay Wright know about him? Has he got any eligibility left? So this guy, I mean, he could play hoop. Wait till you see him. I'm just telling people, wait till you see the dude. You'll go, wow, I'm glad he's on our side.
I have no idea how it is even humanly possible for someone to weigh 300 pounds and have, like, not a shred of body fat on him. It doesn't make sense to me.
If you're up here tonight trying to stalk us, trying to get in the dorm, trying to find him, it would be actually worth being arrested just because to see the guy is worth it. I really like what John did in trying to get him. And I'm telling you, he's way ahead of the old, I don't know the football game curve. He's super smart. That's the other thing. He could be, you're pretty much Christian. I'm telling you, it's going to go wicked because he'll also have Justin Houston and Dee Ford and Derek Johnson and Marcus Peters and Eric Berry and Daniel Sorensen and Ron Parker hovering around. Oh, up front, there might be Benny Logan, who's had a great start to this camp, and Alan Bailey back. And I'm telling you, if everything happens, this could be a killer defense. Seahawks-like 14 defense.
Mitch, you went 4-0 on the opening day of high school mascots. Let's see if you can keep it alive, man.
All right. I got to tell you, I'm not feeling it today, so he's going to have to push through, play hurt.
All right, first one, Anderson County High School.
Ooh, Anderson County, it's Garnett, the Bulldogs. It used to be the Garnett Grand Prix. I don't think they have that anymore. There used to be a Grand Prix right there, I think, right through the football field. But Anderson County, there's some other communities around it that, of course, join Garnett. Yep.
Crest High School.
Crest, Colony Crest Lancers. Not to be confused with the Shawnee Mission East Lancers. But right there in the wheelhouse. You're right there in D. Lawrence's wheelhouse where he was stuck within about a 40-mile radius around Altoona Midway, and that's all where he was going. So I was a little disappointed in D. Lawrence. Like, dude, you at least got to go 75-mile radius.
Mauer Hill.
Mauer Hill, the Junior Ravens. Yep, Mauer Hill. Long tradition as a private school in Atchison. They have had their moments in great athletes. They just won basketball in 3A not that long ago. Interesting school. You've got some local kids that are from there around the area, Atchison in the smaller towns, but a good deal of their population are foreign students, and a lot who come in as boarding students that come in for Mauer Hill's academic reputation.
All right, last one, Blue Valley High School.
So there's several. Which one you want? There's a couple.
I want the original. I want Blue Valley.
Well, no. I don't mean that one. Are you talking about the Blue Valley Randolph Olsburg Rams, which Olsburg and Randolph were taken out because of big DAM? Let's don't get an FCC problem here. Don't have your owners freaking out. This is a dam like Clinton Dam, right?
Sure.
DAM?
Sure.
It's a dam that's holding up the water at Clinton. Tuttle Creek Reservoir took out several towns in the beautiful Blue River Valley in the 1950s. They called it Big Dam Foolishness. And the two of the most prominent towns, took out Randolph and Olsburg. They had to move the towns. And when they did, they formed Blue Valley High School, the Blue Valley Rams. Of course, the Blue Valley Tigers you're thinking about in southern Johnson County, which was a combination of the old towns of Stillwell and Aubrey. Aubrey, famous for the retreat of General Sterling Price after the Battle of Westport on his way down to Mine Creek when General Pleasanton named after him, caught up with him, and it was a pretty wicked battle down there south on 69 Highway. But the Blue Valley Tigers, combining Stillwell and Aubrey, of course, have an incredible tradition of not just individual and team athletes, and, of course, lost their iconic coach, Eric Driscoll, this past spring. But, yes, the Blue Valley Tigers, I was just talking about them today, actually. And the fact that they were, I don't know what we're talking about at camp. But anyway, Stillwell and Aubrey. It goes way back with the BVT Tigers.
You're the man, Mitch. Thanks again. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Just differentiate which Blue Valley you want, brother.
I'm sorry. I got to come stronger than that next time.
Listen, there's people driving around Lawrence right now looking for Papa John's Pizza going, I'm from Randolph. Big damn foolishness took out my farm, and I had to go up on the hill and go to Blue Valley High School.
All right. I'll be better tomorrow. I promise, man.
See you, brother.
All righty, that's Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Chiefs on Rock Chalk Sports Talk. I'm Nick Schwert on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Mario Chalmers in 8 minutes. I'm Nick Schwert on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Thanks for tuning in. The 5 o'clock hour here on Rock Chalk Sports Talk. KU officially begins their Italian tour tomorrow, their first game at 11:30 a.m. Kansas time. You can hear that game right here on KLWN. I think they've been in Italy for less than 12 hours. They've already got a ton done today. I think it's like 9 o'clock their time. I'm probably way off there. But let's get an update on everything that's happening over there with our good friend from the Lawrence Journal World, live from Rome, Italy, Matt Tate of the LJW joins us now on the program. Matt, how you doing, man?
Buonasera.
Wait, I don't... Come again?
You didn't,
I don't speak Spanish. I don't speak Spanish, Matt. You know that.
Oh, okay, okay. Sorry, sorry. I'll try one, you know. No, I'm doing good, man. I love speaking foreign languages, and I don't know much Italian at all, but I love the accent. I love faking my way through it. So been doing a little bit of that already since I've been over here, learning some words, trying to figure it out. I'm fluent in Spanish, so every time I go anywhere, I want to speak Spanish. And, it, you know, there's a pretty close marriage between Italian and Spanish, so it helps here.
Well, and I've told you in the past, I've told you in the past that I've had listeners tell me they didn't know you were white. Like, they thought you had some sort of different ethnicity in your background.
Ethnicity to me?
Yeah, so
right,
maybe it works
right
for you.
Well, that's what I am, and my own boss used to tell me that, you know, because of my appearance on the flights that we take, we would always automatically be extra screened or whatever, you know. So that's never happened. I think he was just being a clown and trying to dog me. But, hey, never can be too safe.
Right.
And you can never be too cultured. That's the moral of this story. And, yeah, even when I went over to Thailand a few years ago, I wanted to speak Spanish to everybody there. It wouldn't work at all. but it's my thing. I like to immerse myself in the culture that I'm in. And, yeah, it's been really cool already. And you know, obviously we've just scratched the surface here, but it's going to really get going tomorrow with some tours and some basketball and the whole reason that everybody's over here. So looking forward to it big time.
Well, I'm excited to hear that you're doing well, but what can you tell me about the team? I know you guys got in, about 12 hours ago now. What was going on today, the day before they officially start this tour?
Yeah, well, they it was weird because they left Kansas City before I did, by about an hour, and they went through Chicago, and I went through D.C., and I got in before they did to Rome. So they had like a 5 or 6 hour layover in Chicago, and my layover in D.C. was only an hour and 45 minutes, so... you know, it was a long, long day for those guys, and you could see it when they pulled up. You know, they were exhausted. Coach Self, you know, even when they pulled up in the bus, the fourth of four buses, the first three had fans and family and those types of things, and then the last one was, you know, the team and the coaches. And when they pulled up in front of their hotel, you could see Coach had a little tilt on his head. He might have been catching a couple of Z's to try to catch up. He said he didn't sleep any on the plane. And his message to his team was sleep as much as you can on the plane, but he wasn't able to do it. You know, he watched the Magnificent Seven, a good old Western is what he called it, and, you know, grinded his way over the Atlantic. But, yeah, you could see they were worn out. I mean, that's a long time to have a layover, let alone your layover there was almost as long as that flight, you know. So adding that to just the travel and just all of that goes into it, and it makes for a long day. They were pretty exhausted. But, you know, as soon as they got here, they jumped into some tour stuff right away. It was a bus trip from the airport into the city of Rome, but they kind of made it worthwhile. They took a little of a, you know, all-encompassing tour where they cruised by some of the things they're going to see a little closer in the next couple of days, and were able to kind of check them out from a distance. They saw the Colosseum, they saw the Vatican from a distance, and, you know, they're going to go up close and personal with both of those places in the next couple of days. So, you know, I thought that was kind of cool. I mean, you know, when I got here, I hopped in a cab and drove to the hotel. It was, you know, I saw what I saw, but I think it eased them into everything a little bit more and made it feel like today was kind of worth something instead of just traveling so hard. And, you know, then when they got here, their goal was to stay up and try to beat that jet lag and you know, not let it get them. So that way, if they get to bed here, you know, any time now, they can get 10, 12 hours of sleep and be ready to go tomorrow. So we'll see. Coach even said, I doubt a single person is able to pull that off. He predicted that every one of them would crash as soon as they hit their rooms. But you never know. I mean, those guys, there's some veterans in that group, and I'm sure they were trying to lead the team the right way. So, you know, not the most eventful day, but I did think it was pretty cool that they were able to get out and check out at least some of the sites and you know, while they were kind of doing dinner and lunch and those types of things, I did the same thing. Hopped on a double-decker bus and just drove around for an hour and looked at everything from a distance. You know me pretty well, and this is a pretty good time to say this because I've been talking nonstop for however many minutes here. Yeah. But I was speechless for a good 45 minutes on that bus.
Wow.
I mean, this city is incredible, and I was in complete awe of everything I was looking at, the history, just how well preserved it's all been, just the aesthetics of it all. It's beautiful and just mesmerizing. So yeah, man, it's I'm a lucky dude to be over here and to be doing my job over here, and like I said, looking forward to really cranking it up in the next couple of days.
We've got Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal-World with us here on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Maybe this question will be easier to answer after the trip or near the end of the trip in a couple of days, but like based off what you've seen in a limited sample size just today, like from your perspective, is this trip, like, is it more about everything else other than basketball? I know they're going over there to play four games, and they're going to want to win all four of those, but is this, how much bigger than basketball is this trip for this team?
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. I think it's, you know, coach has not been shy about saying that too. I mean, this is, they want to win, they want to play well, but you know, I've never seen him care less about how well they play. I mean, the reality of it is they've got time to figure that out. If they look like a rec league team in here for the next four games, it's not going to mean they're not going to win the Big 12. You know, they've still got a ton of time to practice. They've still got boot camp. They've still got summer workouts to finish up. I mean, they've got a lot of things to get done and a lot of time to put things in to get better. So, you know, I don't think anybody's putting too much pressure on the actual basketball. And sometimes that works out and you end up playing pretty well with when you've got that free mind and can just kind of play loose and have fun. So, it'll be interesting to see how that goes, but yeah, I mean, these guys are absolutely here to see this place and to experience the culture and bond together and you know, eat the food and see the sights and just I think for a group that's got a lot of new faces and is, you know, still trying to find its way into figuring out what they are as a team and how they mesh together, I think something like this can be huge, and I think that was the goal in putting it together in the first place. And now that they're here, you can see it. You know, they're excited to be here, and you know, I'm sure once it tips off, they'll get fired up. They're competitors, and you know, elite competitors at that. So there's no way they're going to want to, you know, lay an egg or get embarrassed or even for a half play bad. But I think right now they're in a pretty good frame of mind as far as, let's just enjoy the heck out of this whole thing and let the chips fall where they may as far as the basketball stuff goes.
Now, before the trip officially commenced, Bill Self made an announcement on Sunday that Dedrick Lawson wasn't going to be traveling with the team, suspended due to an altercation in practice, as Bill Self put it. What'd you make of that suspension happening right before the trip, happening to a guy who hasn't been with the program for all that long?
Yeah, you know, I'm sure whatever he did warranted it. There's no way that Self would just go hand out a suspension for the heck of it, you know. So I'm sure it was deserved. But, you know, there's no part of me that thinks that Bill Self was bothered in the least bit by the timing of that and by having to do that, because it definitely allows him to kind of send a message and not only send a message to the new guys and those transfers that are still kind of figuring out what it takes to be here, but also to set a tone for the season. You know, last year was really rough. I mean, weeks upon weeks upon weeks of talking about off the court issues and things of that nature. And, you know, the fact that those guys understand now, hey, if you're not acting right, I'll run you and you will miss out on the trip of a lifetime. So, you know, that if that wasn't a wake-up call for some of those guys, and not just the newcomers, but all of them. You know, I think I think that ends up sort of being the silver lining of that whole mess. It's not the end of the world. I've seen people kind of freaking out about this and saying, here we go again, and things like that. We'll see. I mean, this was an altercation in practice that was handled in-house, and it cost the kid a big-time trip, but it didn't hurt KU. It didn't embarrass the program. It didn't do anything like that, you know. So I don't think we're at the here we go again stage by any means, but I do think that that Self took great advantage of the opportunity to send that message that says, you know, we're not going to go through what we did last year. So you need to, you know, shape up, act right, and get yourself in order well before the season gets here. And we'll see if they listen. It's an easy message to send, and it's easy to get if you have some maturity about you and you want to do the right things. But, you know, they're young dudes, and they're still figuring out a lot of things in life. So it remains to be seen if the message is actually received. But, other than a big-time bummer for Dedrick Lawson, I don't think it has a huge impact on the team or anything. And to be completely honest with you, I love the dynamic of these two brothers that are really tight that played together at Memphis, and they came to Kansas together, and, you know, they're peas in a pod. And right now, they're both sort of forced out of their comfort zone. You know, one of them's back home figuring out what that feels like and how he has to deal with that. And the other one's here with his new teammates, kind of figuring out that, trying to figure out, well, how do I fit into this team and with these new guys that are my brothers without my actual brother in the fold, you know? So there's a lot to be gained, I think, if you're KJ Lawson in that regard too. And that'll all shake out down the road, however it does. But I really like that dynamic of kind of pushing those two guys out of their comfort zone and making them kind of figure it out, you know, as something other than a package deal.
Now, as far as the guys who are in Italy and who are going to be partaking in this trip, there are a lot of newcomers. You've got Sam Cunliffe, the younger, at least, in terms of the NCAA. KJ Lawson's going to be out there. Charlie Moore's going to be out there. You've got a lot of new faces. Is there anyone in particular you're most excited to see?
Oh, that's a great question. I think Malik Newman is the answer there, and it will always be the answer until I see him. I mean, I think two reasons. One, we've heard so many good things about his potential and what kind of player he can be. Two, he seems to me like one of the guys who is absolutely the most excited about this trip. I mean, he has embraced this whole thing wholeheartedly. He's been talking about it and sort of the point man for a lot of things they've done with their, you know, official KU social media accounts and stuff like that. I mean, he's been interviewing his own teammates. He did that on the layover in Chicago today with Charlie Moore, who's a Chicago native, you know, and they posted a 20-second clip or something like that. So, you know, Malik is really feeling good about things right now and feeling really comfortable and confident. And I'm excited to see how well and how quickly that kind of vibe translates, you know, into what he's doing as a basketball player. Because obviously we know the guy has a ton of talent. So, I mean, it'll be fun to see all those guys. There's no doubt. And Marcus Garrett, after what Coach said about him on Sunday, I mean, he had some serious praise for Marcus Garrett, the freshman guard from Dallas. I mean, he said he could play 1 through 4. He said he's one of the toughest guys they have. He said even as a true freshman in his first summer of college basketball, he's already figured out, you know, how to make his teammates better, and that includes guys like Malik Newman and Devontae Graham and how to make their jobs easier. And, you know, that's a heck of a lot of maturity to be jumping in right out of the gate with. So I think KU fans are really, really going to end up loving Marcus Garrett. And, you know, that may happen this year. They may like him a lot. But by the time he's, junior, senior year, I think he's going to be one of those guys that is in that same mold as Devontae Graham, just a guy that people absolutely love and have loved for a long time. So I'm fired up to see him play. And you know, the bottom line is everybody's going to play. Clay Young's going to play. Chris Tien's going to play. On the flight out here, actually, I sat next to two of the four Tehan brothers. They were in my aisle. So I kind of was checking in with them and seeing who they were and what they were about early on in the flight. And then I realized oh, man, these are Connor's brothers and Chris's brothers, you know. So we chatted quite a while, and just a great family, a great bunch of dudes, and a really cool just dynamic how that family is just so all about KU. And you know, you've got the younger one coming in now and sort of trying to follow in Connor's footsteps a little bit. And you know, so that made the flight even cooler. It was almost like a work flight then. I told him I wouldn't interview him for 9 straight hours, but you know, I probably could have written the Tehan family book if I had the full run at him for the whole flight. But luckily they nodded off, and I was stuck to, you know, watch the movies or play Candy Crush or whatever I did.
He's Matt Tate, Lawrence Journal World, joining us here on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. How tall is Marcus Garrett? Did you get you said he could play 1 through 4. That's just, I mean, we've seen the versatility on KU in the past couple of years, and it seems like they're going to need more of it this year with the lack of depth in the front court. Does Garrett look like a guy who you could see playing stretch 4 even in limited minutes?
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, you know, I think that more than anything, it would be a foul trouble situation, obviously. It would be an injury situation, obviously. But you know, nobody's comparing him to Josh Jackson. In fact, Self, you know, went out of his way to say, no. That's not what we're talking about here. But the kid has some inherent toughness and the ability to get down there and scrap and compete. You know, that's one of the things that helped Jackson survive when he was asked to do that last year and sometimes thrive, you know. So, you know, I don't think it's exactly the same, but he's a tall kid. He's even taller with that hair that he's got going, you know. So 6'5", and he's not overly, you know, built, but he's also not a skinny, you know, true freshman looking dude. I mean, he's pretty well put together, and with some more work in the weight room with Andrea Hootie and that whole crew, you know, he's a guy that has a ton of potential to be one of those versatile pieces that can do, you know, pretty much whatever is needed and whatever is asked. So yeah, he'll be fun to watch. I mean, he'll be fun to watch this week. He'll be fun to watch this season. His career will be fun to watch. I can't say that enough. I think KU fans are going to absolutely fall in love with him.
Do you know anything about this team that KU is going to be playing tomorrow?
No, I don't. I wish I did. You know, I kind of tried to look around here and there to find if I could figure out anything, but you know, the reality of it is KU didn't even know the teams they were playing until a few weeks ago. So
yeah.
I don't know if that was something, you know, to do with the organization and the way this thing was put together on this side of things, the Italian side of things, or if that was just one of those things where they really didn't know what teams they were going to throw in and maybe they had to build some of these teams to do this. So, you know, it'll be interesting. I think it'll be some young guys, some good athletes. The one thing that I don't think any of the three teams that they'll play over here will have anything close to is an answer for Udoka Azubuike. I mean, that's just hard to imagine. So he's a guy that I've got my eye on in terms of, does he understand how to kind of play with that role? Does he understand how, look, I should dominate because I'm by far and maybe even 2 times the biggest dude on the floor. But to do that, you can't just go crazy. You can't just be pulling a China shop and run over everybody and go nuts, because if you do that, you're going to pick up some silly fouls and you're not going to be able to play big minutes. So I'm eager to see how he handles that and where his maturity and discipline and poise and all those things are, because this is a deal where if they wanted to, they could probably throw it down to him every single possession and get a bucket and win a game. So I will eat crow hardcore if there's some ginormous, hairy Italian dude that can stand toe-to-toe and match Udoka's frame physically, but I'm not expecting to see that at all.
He is Matt Tate. He is in Italy. He will be there live for that game tomorrow, 11:30 Lawrence time, right here on KLWN. Well, thank you for the time, sir. Enjoy the rest of your trip, and if it's not too much of a hassle, maybe we'll check in again before this thing's done.
Yeah, man, I'd love to. I've got the travel pass courtesy of Verizon Wireless.
Veteran move right there.
Yeah, it was $10 a day or something. So I'm talking to you just like I'm in Lawrence, Kansas, just like I'm in America. So, yeah, man, if you want me back on after any of these games or whatever, just track me down. I'll be happy to jump back on and tell you what I saw. I'm expecting to see quite a lot, and there should be plenty to talk about.
Well, perfect, man. Thanks again. Enjoy your time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, Nick. Sounds good, man. Thanks a lot.
All right, that's Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal World. I'm Nick Schwert. This is Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. That's going to do it for the show. Thanks to Matt. Thanks to Mitch Holtis. Thanks to Mario for joining us on the program. We'll be back again tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on KLWN. Royals baseball coming up next.